We'll focus our attention on this particular chapter, 1 Samuel, and chapter 7, from the very first verse to the end of the chapter. Now, our focus will be, if we were to give a theme to this particular message, it's basically one word, Ebenezer, which is explained as, thus far, the Lord has helped us. Now, you'll be aware that at this particular juncture here, we have the Ark of the Lord that is back in Israel from the Philistines. The Ark is now under Eleazar and son of Aminadab. Now, what does the Ark mean to the believers, or what does it mean to the children of Israel? What does it mean to the people of God? Well, the ark for the children of Israel, it symbolizes the presence of God. It is the ark of the covenant. In the ark, you have the stone, tablets from the Ten Commandments. And so, it has a very serious significance for the children of Israel. You are talking about the presence of God. And you are talking about the commandments, you are talking about the law, of God. And the one who fulfilled the law, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is also talk about in the ark having, some pot for manna. And which bread speaks about the bread of life of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the ark, they said there was an Aaron's, rod, which again talks about the eternal priesthood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are quite a number of things to do with the ark. But this is the one that the Philistines took away from the children of Israel. Can you imagine? This is the very presence of God. The very law of God, the protection for the children of Israel, is what was taken away, which was symbolizing really the Lord Jesus Christ being present. When you're a believer, the Holy Spirit indwells you. God dwells, tabernacles, with you. And no one has fulfilled the law apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was all symbolized in that particular ark of the covenant. The Lord Jesus Christ was perfect. And he is the bread of life. When you have him, you have life, eternal. Now, this is the situation now that the Philistines have been able to have a lot of trouble. If you read the earlier chapters, they've had a lot of problems because of the ark of the Lord. And so now, basically, it has been brought back, and it is now back with the children of Israel. And this is the situation we come in. So now, when you look at the first six verses, I would like to just bring out the point of the sinfulness of man. The first six verses. Actually, let me read the second verse up to the second to the sixth verse. Verse 2. So it was that the ark remained in Kiriath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Then Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, saying, if you return to the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the foreign gods and the Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts for the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you from the hands of the Philistines. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth, and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord. And they fasted that day and said, There we have sinned against the Lord, and Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. Now, the sinfulness of man. How do we see this? Well, in the first place, the ark of the Lord was taken away because of their sinfulness. You know, because Israel sinned, and that's why the ark was taken away. But the Lord judged even the Philistines, and so the ark was brought back. And there in this situation, in verse 2, we are told that they lamented, you know, after the Lord. There was this passionate expression of grief and sorrow because of what they had done, you know, wrong before God. And we are told in verse 4 that they must have been caught up in worshipping, you know, false gods, because they were told to put away, you know, the Baals and Ashtoreths. The worship of Baal, that needed to be taken away. So it was amongst them. It was in their midst. They were caught up in worshipping, you know, false gods. And it says, take these things away. And that is clearly shown in those, you know, verses. He says, you need to return to the Lord. Why were they going to return to the Lord? Because they were far from the Lord. And they were being urged to return back to the Lord. That is found in verse 3. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, if you return to the Lord with all your heart, then put away the foreign gods. That is the state that they were in. They were being told here, you have gone very far from the Lord and you need to return. Stop worshipping, you know, idols, you know, other gods as it were. And so the children of Israel were able to lament, you know, after, you know, the Lord. Here are the people of God who were delivered from Egypt in a miraculous way. When the Egyptians were pursuing them, they crossed the Red Sea on dry ground. They were laid in the wilderness by that pillar of fire and the pillar of a cloud. They were provided for at every time. And yet, they go against God's word. And so the Lord said, I am taking away my presence from you. I am taking the ark away from you. And this is something that was terrible for the children of Israel. And they lost battles. They were defeated. But here comes Mizpah. Now, somebody has described Mizpah. Well, the Bible dictionary says Mizpah is a place of watching. It is like a watchtower. A place of watching. Here is a place in where the Lord wants to meet his people. And they have come, you know, to be able to say, we are sinners. They confessed very clearly, we have sinned against the Lord. They themselves, you know, say that, you know, at the end of verse 6. We have sinned against the Lord. We've sinned against the Lord. And so the Lord wants to bring his people back. But this is the state that they found themselves in. Normally, the issue of sin is a problem from the time of Adam. You know, all the way in the Bible, we see people of God not following the Lord as they ought to. And where the Lord has provided a way of escape, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that whoever is in Christ, their sins are dealt with once and for all. For there is no other way that sin can be dealt with except, you know, through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who lived here. You know, he died, he was buried, and he rose again from the dead so that our sins can be dealt with. Yes, man has sinned, but there is a way of escape. And that is the, you know, if we come in repentance and believe, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ. But in the same verses, we can see, secondly, some what you would call the marks of true repentance. The marks of true repentance in this particular passage. I know that if we went all over the Bible, we can find a lot. But for this particular passage, what are the marks of true repentance here? And one of the things that they say here is that they acknowledged their sin. Just like the prodigal son. I have sinned. You know, I've gone very far from the Father. I have done wicked things. This is the state that the children of Israel are in. They acknowledged their sin. And they were able, you know, to fast about the situation they were in. They were able to lament about their sin. There was this expression of grief and sorrow because of what they had done. And then this repentance had to do with their hearts. There is a repetition there about, you know, their hearts. You see that in verse 3. Samuel spoke to all the house of Israel, if you return to the Lord with all your heart. You know, repentance is an inward thing. Something must take place within the heart. He says, and prepare your hearts for the Lord. In repentance, the Lord says, my son, give me your heart. You know, the heart is the seat of emotions. The heart is what makes you, you. The heart is what makes me, me. It is the place where the devil wants to take charge. And the Lord says, my son, give me your heart. Repentance is not just an outward thing. Repentance involves the inner a person. We must resolve from the heart that the Lord takes charge of our lives. Because it is by His own grace that our hearts can be changed. The heart is the place of the battleground, as it were. But, you know, repentance is not just a matter of the heart. It says there is also an outward repentance. You know, it tells them, put away the false gods. Put away the false gods. Something must be done. It is not just a matter of saying, well, I've repented in the heart. But if there is something outwardly that we are doing wrong, we must put that away as well. We are told here, they poured water, you know, before the Lord. We are told here, they are to put away, you know, the worship of Baal, you know, the worship of the Ashtoreth. That had to be put away. You know, we see all this in these verses here, in verse 4. So the children of Israel put away the Baals and the Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. You shall have no other gods before me. You remember? When the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, the Lord says, I've delivered you, but I want you to have no other gods before me. You worship me, and me only. And this is what they are doing here. Serve the Lord only. What are the marks of repentance here? Acknowledge that we are sinners. And cry out concerning our sin, because we cannot save ourselves. We cannot change ourselves. Our hearts deceive us. They are deceitful above all things. But once we cry to the Lord, He is able to change us from the heart. And once we are changed from the heart, we can be able to put away the worship of idols, so that we can only worship the Lord, our God. All the foreign gods, all the idols must get away, so that we focus on the Lord only. Save the Lord, you know, only. True repentance requires an inward change, as well as there's a fruits of repentance. You shall know them by their fruits. Thirdly, want to mention that God will defeat the enemies of the Christian. The Lord our God will defeat the enemies of a Christian. When the children of Israel were at Mizpah, the Philistines heard about this, and they wanted to come back and attack Israel. We see that in the passage, in verse 7. Now, when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel had gathered together at Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. The Philistines, the enemies, they still want to attack the people of God. And the children of Israel are afraid. That's what the Bible tells us. Children of Israel heard of it, and they were afraid of the Philistines. And so they appealed, you know, to Samuel, please cry to the Lord on our behalf. You see, you know, all that written in the text. So the children of Israel said to Samuel, in verse 8, do not cease to cry out to the Lord, our God, for us, that he may save us from the hand of the Philistines. They appealed to Samuel, and Samuel did just that. Samuel cried out to the Lord, and the Lord answered that prayer. You know, he confused the Philistines with a loud thunder. That's what we, you know, the Bible tells us here. And Samuel took a sparkling lamb in verse 9 and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. Then Samuel cried out to the Lord for Israel, and the Lord answered him. And this answer, you know, involved this loud thunder that we read about, you know, in verse 10. Now, as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a loud thunder upon the Philistines that day, and so confused them that they were overcome. Confused them. Now, please notice, this is not something that the Israelites were able to do. It was done by God. That thunder, the Lord provided it to confuse the Philistines. In other words, it is the Lord who did it. And that's why Samuel can say, thus far, the Lord has been with us. And the Bible tells us here that the Philistines were defeated. And there is, the cities that they had taken were restored. And there was now peace between Israel and the Amorites. But why did this happen? Because the Lord stepped in. Remember earlier on, the children of Israel had sinned, and so the Philistines defeated them, and they took the ark with them. And now the Lord troubled the Philistines when they were with the ark, and caused them to suffer, and so they brought the ark back. And now the children of Israel have realized their sin. They have come with the true marks of repentance. And as because they have done that, the Lord steps in and defends them. The enemies did not stop. They wanted to come and fight again. But the Philistines were defeated. You see that in verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they did not come anymore in the territory of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. When Samuel was a judge, the Lord saved the Israelites from the Philistines. It is the Lord who did it. We cannot fight our enemies on using our own earthly strength or whatever. The earthly weapons that we might have, we only depend on the Lord. The devil is very experienced. He has many ways of tripping us down. So the enemy is restless. He will never stop. Even when the Lord had dealt with them and they suffered a lot of things, they still were trying. And so the enemy is always active, day and night. But you know, our strength is only when we are covered, you know, in the Lord. When we hide in the Lord, when we rush, you know, to Him. There, our strength, you know, lies. The last thing I want us to see in here, just in case you've missed it, is the fact that this passage is about the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, when you talk about the Ark of the Covenant, as I mentioned earlier, you are talking about the presence, you know, of God. You are talking about the law of God. You are talking about the protection of God. Who else can provide that? It is only in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have, we can be brought to the presence of God. Our reconciliation to God, you know, our walking with God, our being indwelt by the Holy Spirit, it is only because of the Lord Jesus Christ. He fulfilled the law. He is the bread of life. And you notice in this passage that Moses had to take a suckling lamb and offered it as a burnt offering. Did you notice that? When you hear anything about the lamb, when you hear about the burnt offering, the Lord Jesus Christ is that lamb. The offering of the Old Testament, those who have passed, the true sacrifice and the true offering is our Lord Jesus Christ. He gave up His life on the cross of Calvary as an offering, and so that we can be saved once and for all. So this passage talking about the Philistines and the Samuel and Israel is actually talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who was offered as a burnt offering, as it were. You have Eliezer here, who was given to look after the ark, son of Aminadab here. What you see in there is the Lord has arranged, you know, all this. And at the end of the day, Samuel says, Ebenezer. Thus far, the Lord has helped us. That verse 12. Ebenezer, thus far the Lord has helped us. Where do we get the best help in the world? It is only from the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, Adam and Eve turned away from God. And we reached a stage where every imagination of man was only evil continually. And the Lord wiped out the whole humanity apart from Noah and his family. But that didn't stop us from sinning. Just from Noah's generation, you'll find sin has come again. The Lord took the whole Israelites into the Babylonian world. And they say that, in fact, the ark may have been lost at that particular time. The children of Israel, because of the sin, they were taken into captivity. And for 400 years, there was this silence, even after they came back from Babylon. Until the coming of the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the perfect helper, you know, to us. He came, born of a virgin. It's very important that he was born of a virgin. And he never sinned. And he performed a lot of miracles. He helped, you know, many. He went to the cross and died, you know, for us. And when he went back to the Father, the Bible tells us that he was going to come again, you know, the way he has gone. And he told his disciples, wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, Helshon. Right? Everywhere. The whole gospel story can be told from here. Thus far, our Lord has helped us. Our sins would never have been dealt with without the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins, past, present, and future. The help comes from the Lord Himself. And so when we are faced with various challenges in life, are faced with the enemy attacking us one in one way or the other, remember there is a helper. There is a friend that is closer than a brother. And the Lord Jesus Christ is close to those that, you know, have come in repentance and belief, you know, in Him. Unless you repent, you will perish. There is no other name under which we must be saved except the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder who your helper, you know, is on a day-to-day basis. As children of God, we are to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus Christ helping us day by day in whatever situations we find ourselves in. So I hope each one of us will focus on Christ, the solid rock, right? The foundation of our faith. Let's pray together.